This is HPR episode 1718 entitled What's in My Pickup Toolbox. It is hosted by 50 and 50 and is about 26 minutes long. The summary is, what's in 5150's pickup toolbox?
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Howdy folks, this is 5150 for Hacker Public Radio, and this is going to be my first recording picking something from the suggested recordings list. So today's topic is, what's in my pickup toolbox? It is what you want, right Ken? I never can remember. Okay, well, right up here in the leading edge of my old beat up toolbox, I've got old coffee can full of stuff, and let's see what we got in there. I got some blue RTV gasket maker, and of course that stuff's never any good the second time you try to use it. It's all gummed up and you gotta stick a knife through the bottom to get any out. Some Permatex, that's just as bad. Little piece of fuel line hose left over from probably putting in a filter. Looks like I got three wood chisels, and what I use those for mainly, I don't do woodworking, that's for scraping gasket material off a surface. Got a couple big long punches, a pair of small vice grips, a pair of these scissors. I haven't been able to find these. I used to have a bunch of these, and you know, they're these scissors made out of sheet metal you get from those bargain tool bins, and they look like cheap as heck, but shoot, they cut through anything. I've got a little wire brush here, stiff plastic brush for cleaning parts. I've got the male end of a trailer coupler, a Sharpie, which is nice for writing on stuff. Another piece of old worn out hose I've taken from off of something. See, I've got a driver for a small socket set, you know, well, it looks like a screwdriver, but it's got a quarter inch socket head on one end. Looks like I've got an inline fuse for this new, not the old round bus fuses, but the plastic ones now cars have. Phillips screwdriver. Let's see, you never know what's in this. Some old nuts, some electric fence insulators, looks like. I'm not going to go clear the bottom of this. Part of an old current tester, looks like. Whole bunch of stuff. Washers and fuel line some fuel parts and stuff. More hose. Oh, okay, that's off of a grease gun. Cutting a coupler part. Okay, let's call that good for that can. Let's see what was underneath here. Looks like an old relay for something. So, some fuel filters that probably aren't any good, since I don't know if they're good or not. Old broken set of wire strippers, you know, the cutter part is broken. They still would strip fine, but of course if I want to cut the wire, I got to buy another set anyway, and we'll get to that. So it's in there. Big Phillips screwdriver. Let's see, box end wrench, 15/16 by 1 inch. Another big flat-headed screwdriver, really, really big punch that won't fit down in that can. Piece of an old bearing. You can use those for bushings and stuff. Little bitty tape measure. You guys can probably hear the cat, she's hungry. Aircraft type hose clamp, that's the only kind I'll use. There's a clevis. Huh. It's been under that can, so I had no idea I had that or what I ever got it for in the first place. I need a clevis. That's completely the wrong kind for... not a clevis. It's more like a... I don't want to say parachute strap. That's not either. One of those deals that clicks open. See, a pretty much empty box of quarter-inch sockets. It would have been full, but got left open someplace, and all the sockets jiggled off on the ground. Can of WD-40. I've got the sockets in another container. Vice grips. Can't get by on the farm without vice grips. Couple pairs of those. This neat screwdriver we got because we had to get various different heads, but instead of being one of these ones where you take the heads out and you turn around or whatever, you pump this thing like a shotgun and then turn it, and then it's got like an internal magazine with seven different types of heads in there. More vice grips, big old tin out of something I used to beat on stuff with. One of the big old long rods, well, both of them should be in here someplace, that I used to slide in when for the ramps on my car trailer. You know, you set the ramps and slide the bar in to hold them, and they're in here so they won't jiggle off the trailer when it goes down the road. Speed wrench socket. That's old, you know, the old crank type of socket wrench. You don't have much leverage, but you can go fast with them. Fencing hammer. If I had a dollar for every one of those that I planted, I'd retire. About a 15-inch pipe wrench. Another old dried-up tube of Permatex. Big set of channel lock pliers. My remote starter button. That's a real neat thing when you're working on engines. It's got a couple alligator clips, and you go down on the starter and put the clips on the solenoid. So, you know, you can crank the engine over while you're there where you can look at it rather than being in the position of having to get in. Or, you know, say you haven't had two people, which I'm fresh out of, you know, these last few years, Dad hasn't been able to help on the farm. So I've had to do a lot of stuff to, you know, make allowances for that. Roll of, it's like 14-gauge automotive electric wire. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, one of these doohickeys. This is another one of these deals that saves you from needing two people to work on stuff. It's a spark tester, and I've been using it. Well, I need to get back to working on this pickup. It's got some weird gremlins. You know, the ignition just quit on me here, so I got to get back to it. Of course, I got to put a new key in it because I don't have any of those anymore. But this spark tester is a deal. It's a real step. Some of them just got a bulb that lights up. This is sort of a simple one that you can screw it in and out to adjust the gap. And then it's got alligator clips. It really aren't big enough. You put on a ground someplace near the engine, and then you put like your number one spark plug wire. I guess it really doesn't matter which one it is. On the snap it onto the other end, and then you crank the engine over with your remote starter switch. And you look for a spark between the contacts. It'll give you some idea if you're getting a spark. It's not so good for telling you how much spark, you know, how hot it is. Let's see, what else? An old starter button wired to some wires here. Probably I was jerry-rigging it at some time or in lieu of that remote starter. What else? That's an old fuel pump. No, that's a cutoff. See, this truck is dual fuel, propane and gasoline. And since the mechanical gas pump ran all the time when you're on propane, then you had to have a fuel cutoff between it and the carburetor. And this year, Dodge had a bypass. So the whole time you're going down the road burning propane, you were actually circulating gas all the way up to the carburetor, and then forcing it back around the return. So I fixed that by switching over to an electric fuel pump. So it's wired, so I'm only pumping gasoline when I'm actually burning gasoline. And part of the trouble is this little pump is, you know, it's kind of special part. You're not going to see it in the normal parts store, and it started giving me trouble. So that was one of the reasons. I've had trouble with electric fuel pump. I solved that by going to really, really big fuel pump. Apparently, the normal ones they have now aren't terribly reliable anymore. They used to be. And part of it is that the tank on this truck hangs down below the frame, and I want to mount the pump to the frame. Now, if I had a place where I could mount the pump under the fuel tank, where it would gravity flow into the pump, then there wouldn't be so much of a problem. But the trouble with that is, of course, you're going out across the dirt and the brush and all that. If you try to hang it down below the fuel tank, you're just going to wipe it off of there and have a fuel leak. You know, ultimately, you're not going to be going very much. Let's see, I've got some C clamps in here. Got a big old chunk of rod that I guess they just use as a pry bar claw hammer. Let's see, I keep throwing stuff from one end to the other. I keep coming up with the same stuff all the time. What's this here? Oh yeah, this is a strange wrench. It's just open end on only one end. Open end on that end. What size is this, an inch? It's bigger than that. Let me see if I can read the size here. Sometimes you gotta. This one I think came in the glove compartment of a vehicle I bought. Yeah, 1 5/16. So that's a big old sucker. What else? Old tire wrench uses a pry bar. You know, you used to get with the car, not the big square spinner wrench, which I prefer, but just one for the particular nut that they gave you on the car, and then the other end is sort of a pry bar that you'd use to get the hubcap off. So you kids have probably never seen a hubcap. This homemade tool I made for tightening the ball joint connection on the end of the sickle on our old Case combines, which we don't use anymore because we can't find parts for them. You kids, J.I. Case quit making combines in the middle 70s, so you know how old our stuff is. But it's kind of like a ball with a screw behind it. You know, well, you had a ball on each side, or a ball in the middle, and then you had a socket on each side to connect with the balls. It's a ball and socket, and then you tightened it or took it apart by tightening this big sort of nut. Well, it wouldn't be a nut because it's inside. It's threaded on the outside. So, but it's the tube on the end of the combine sickle, which is, that's the part that goes right and left with sharp teeth on it, that actually cuts the plant off. But it was a ball and socket operation, and you had this thing that screwed in the end, and it kept, so you could adjust how tight, because you get too tight, of course, it wouldn't work, too loose, it'd pound itself apart. And this one thing about a combine, there are just too many moving parts, and that's one of those things you constantly had to tighten. I mean, you just didn't set it when you put the thing together. You had to go every day and see if it loosened up on you. And it almost always had, then you had to tighten it down a little more, you know, and grease it. But of course, you know, this thing had sort of a slot like for a screwdriver on the end of it. Of course, it's bigger than any screw you've ever seen. And we used to have a thing go on a socket wrench that would go in it. It was actually designed for doing something similar on a tie rod end. It's kind of like a really big tie rod end. If you've ever seen one of those that come apart, you know, the nut screws apart on the end rather than making it. You really won't see that except really old equipment. But it's not a straight, like, screwdriver deal either, because it has to be notched in the middle because that's where the greaser is. But long, very, very stupid and long story short, I got tired years ago of having one tool for two combines that would always be in the wrong place, and I have to chase Dad down the other combine to get the tool, or vice versa. So, is real easy solution. I just took a chunk of angle iron and cut away from one side, so I had a tool that would fit down in that slot and with a big handle on it, and that's how we fixed that. Oh, let's see, smaller Phillips, still fairly big, but. Phillips screwdriver, but more long than it is big around. Oh, okay, we've got a set of Allen wrenches. These are Torx head. Okay, It's like one of those, Alan, I could have really used this a while back on a computer, but set a torch head deal, so it's, you know, you've got like from, what was it, T20, well, never mind sizes, but it, probably any torch head that you're going to encounter is going to be on this thing, but it's made like one of those Allen wrench sets where they all fold up beside each other. See, oh, it's probably out of my old New Yorker, garage sale in college. I got one of those. You know how back in the 70s you had these strap-on things to you know, you had the foot-shaped accelerator pedals? You know, it was a J.C. Whitney catalog sort of thing. And I had to, you know, so I had a set, and one of them would, the big one would strap on your accelerator pedal, and then the, just get, wouldn't replace it, just go over it. And then the other one is supposed to go down on the headlight dimmer down on the floor, so it's just made a little round socket and Allen wrench, and it's in here because the thing never would stay on. So, you know, set screw is what I meant to say. And you know me, I never throw anything away. Probably wind up on a computer sometime as a switch or something. Let's see, what else do we got? Oh, that's an inside door handle that fell off the truck. So we're never really high enough priority to fix that. Let's see. We've got a ball and a hitch that goes in the receiver, because of course I got to switch back and forth between a pin type hitch and a trailer ball type. So one's always in the toolbox, and the other one, well, actually they're both in here. That's probably so I don't walk in. Now I've got another one back in there. You have this. I guess I got extra hacksaw, and well, that's all you can use out in the field. And I tell you what, if you saw much metal, get you one of those saws. All they burn through blades awful fast, but man, they sure are a labor saver. Big 3/4 inch drive, or no, I'm sorry, half inch drive, a ratchet handle, a couple crescent wrenches, more wire. That's, I think that's still, no, that's like 12 gauge rather than 14 gauge. A hitch pin, worn out one. Why would I keep this? It's an old choke thing, backs off your choke when it heats up. It's got like a coil wire. It heats up when the engine's warm, and it backs automatic choke deal. That's what it is. A WD-40 can with the end of it broke off. I do sometimes have success switching the ends when I fill one can. Another claw hammer. Let's see. Another dried up tube of Permatex. Some wire connectors. Tube of Gojo. Well, I think it's empty too. A 1/4 inch ratchet handle. We're done. Then I've got another one up here in the top part of the toolbox. Got the identical mate to that empty set of 1/4 inch sockets and ratchet that I told you about. So this, I think we lost some of those. I made one kit out of the two. Had identical, because you get these premiums when you buy corn seed. We always joke you get your corn seed free when you buy a $5,000 hat. Let's see, what else? About to the end of the bottom part. I'm sure you folks are glad to hear the word end in conjunction with this podcast. Throw the toolbox. Oh, yeah. Don't use it much, but when you needed it, you need it. It's a set of gear wrench tools. It's a ratcheting wrench, but instead of being a socket wrench, because a socket wrench, you're limited how far down on a bolt you can go. So if you got something that's like all thread that you got to go away. So this thing works great because it's like a socket wrench, but the sockets are meant for the bolt or whatever you're working on to pass all the way through it. So, like I said, it's one of those things I probably haven't used 10 times, but when I did, it was a lot faster than working on it with an end wrench. So I got one of those telescoping mirrors. Now this is a set of Allen wrenches here. Really, really big set. So assorted bolts and stuff and screws, my plastic calipers. What's this? Another punch, I guess. A smaller punch. This is like a center punch. Okay. Tire gauge. another quarter inch ratchet handle, long quarter inch ratchet extension. This one I hate because the sockets never stay on the end. It never has since the thing was brand new. You gotta wrap tape around them to hold them on there. I guess the solution would be to buy a new extension or a different extension, but of course you folks know I'm cheap. Let's see. Okay, then I have a drawer here. Well, not really a drawer, it doesn't slide out, but a section here that's walled off. It's got all my larger open-end box-end wrenches, and then some of the times you got to throw stuff in where it'll fit. So it's also, since it's a long compartment, it's also got my big half-inch drive socket extension in there, and another crescent wrench, and looks like a standalone Allen wrench, not part of a kit. Then next to that, I have my 3H drive sockets in a small deal, and right next on the other side, I've got my half-inch drive sockets. And let's see, the other compartment's got my smaller box-end wrenches, everything up to about 3/4. I've been there. And then up here on the other end, let's see, sorted things, battery cable ends, and I've got an extra set of pliers in there in case I lose my pliers. I've got a pair of side cutters, which is a type of wire cutter, and then I have an unbroken set of wire strippers here and crimpers, and another Sharpie and a flat screwdriver. Let's see, a hitch pin clip keeps your hitch pins from falling out when you're going down the road and having the embarrassing happening of whatever you're towing go a different direction than what you are going. And some fence insulators, looks like a plug out of a tank. And well, that's it, folks. That's what's in my pickup toolbox. I've been 5150 for Hacker Public Radio, and tomorrow you have another host with, I'm certain, a podcast that's far more pertinent to your life than this one has been. See you later. Yeah, and right now I'm looking at my Sansa clip trying to figure out how to stop the silly thing. You probably heard me talk a while back at the last community news that I hadn't got any of the audio when we were walking through Centralia. That's just too bad, because Brome was just funny as heck. I'm not sure how much of that we would have got anyway, because I was walking around holding the clip and trying to hold it where he could talk into it, but probably if there's parts of this you don't hear very well, it's because I forgot to hold it up to in front of my face. So I'm not sure how much I would have got of that Centralia stuff, even if I'd known how to operate the equipment, but see, that's the ironic thing. I'd recorded a podcast with a Sansa clip once before, but that was with the stock software. And on the Sansa clip that I had last year, last May, it had Rockbox on it, and I'm still not sure. Well, I should have played with it on the way down there. I had a good 30 minutes to figure out how to make it record, and I thought, well, that's, I didn't think it was necessary. See, I figured out, you just go into the recording section and hit record. Well, this is one place where the stock Sansa interface wins out, because I just found it confusing. I didn't know if I was recording or not, whatever. So yeah, here we go, and let's see, what do I need to do to stop the recording? I had it paused, and I said that's paused. Well, you wouldn't know that's paused, because I had it paused. Bottom button doesn't do anything. Let's see if the home button. Nope, we're still recording. I've hit the middle button.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Pickup Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.